18 minutes past six here on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader. We're talking about the state of public transport in South Africa. As you know, Eco-Mobility Month taking place in Sandton, parts of the city closed off and made into special areas where you can walk, you can cycle, you can get on a Segway. I'd probably do that. I can do that. I can get on a Segway as long as I don't cycle, learn how to balance myself. Or you can, you know, walk, get on a motorbike or any of those things. And really, they've made those types of transport a priority. And what I'd like to know is how you feel about it. If you work in Sandton or you've had meetings there, or this week you've had lunch or whatever, how did you get around the specific areas where private cars are limited? Did you embrace the change or are you resistant? Did you think the worst of it, as Wayne had said? What would need to change with our public transport system and infrastructure to make you actually use our public transport system? The number to dial 011-731-8502 or tweet me at Sigim Gabadeli. I'm speaking to Dr. Mateta Mukunyana, who is Competency Area Manager for Transport Systems and Operations at the CSIR. Thank you so much, Mateta, for your time this evening. So what has been your experience? I mean, I know you've kind of spent some time watching and the developments with Eco-Mobility.
Thank you, Siki, and good afternoon to the listeners. We live in exciting times where political leadership of the country is now beginning to see that public transport is a very important agenda in the livelihood of citizens. And over time, it has been shown that as democracies mature, transport becomes a very important political item in elections. Having a mayor like the mayor of Johannesburg taking it on and saying that I want to change things, it is very encouraging. And it doesn't quite happen in all the cities around the world. So having a leadership like that, it helps quite a lot. It gives us some hope. But the problem that we have has been created over decades, centuries, and it's not something that we can necessarily change over a few political terms. Transport is a very complex portfolio. It needs leadership, strong leadership, who can bring together all these players, the private sector, the public, different agencies in the public sector as well, to unite behind a common vision of creating eco-friendly transport services. Yeah.
What are the key ingredients for a properly functioning public transport system? What are the things that need to be in place?
Okay. First and foremost, we've seen that leadership is very important, and the leadership that attracts the right kind of people to drive vision in cities, especially. So once you have the leadership, you are able to develop plans around people who can implement them. You are likely to get somewhere. But where you do not have the people to implement that kind of vision, you are likely to have a lot of problems. I mean, if you look at the city like Johannesburg, they are supposed to have something like something called an integrated transport plan. Mm. It's been ups and downs. They haven't quite updated it to the level that they should have updated it. So it is lagging behind in terms of overall direction, in terms of momentum, because you cannot solve things in piecemeals. We are talking about a network. You need to approach it from a network perspective. It's like trying to say, I'm going to solve water problems, pipe problems, by solving this part of the network. It doesn't work like that. Public transport is a network. Transport overall is a network, and you need to look at it as a network in general, as a whole. If you're changing, for example, things in Sandton, they affect not only things in Sandton, but many parts of the region, of the province, even beyond. And I heard, for example, your previous speaker saying, I'm positively surprised by what has happened. We have, from our research, looked at how flexible people are. The people change, for example, where they start shopping, what time of day they start leaving their homes, the mode of transport that they. So people are very flexible. Mm. So when you close a road, it doesn't mean that things will remain like that in terms of choices that people make. And we have to recognize that. So looking at a transport as a network will be one of the first steps to getting there,
yeah.
To solve it from a network perspective. So say, for example, I want to hear, for example, the minister saying, over the next 5 years, over the next 10 years, I want to reduce vehicle kilometers per capita by so much. And then your drive change from those kind of targets. Currently, I have nothing to hold the city accountable.
Mm.
Yeah. So without those firm targets, it becomes very difficult for citizens to become involved in the debates.
And it's got to be at citizen level, right? Because some of the complaints that I've had, that I've heard from people about this week is, all right, I'm happy to leave my car at home. And I did this experiment and I got on the Gau bus that took me to Sandton, and I got there and I did ABC. But then I had a dinner that was going to end at 10. Right? So the Gau buses stop at 9. Now how do I get home?
Absolutely.
All of those things. So integrating the times around how people get around, so that if I need to stop along the way and get off and go and get some groceries, how do I get them home? And that kind of thing. So the psychology of the commuter, are we paying enough attention to that?
Absolutely not. We're not paying enough attention to that. And this is what makes planning, transport planning, very exciting, because it cannot be that just engineers who do these things. You need a lot of disciplines to come together. You need the wisdom of psychologists, for example, to design experiments properly. You need all sorts of disciplines to come together to come up with the solutions. And a lot of the best solutions that we have seen work is where all these disciplines come together to come up with the solutions. We have looked at some of the research, for example, that shows that this is how change happens. You want to combine a certain set of people,
yeah,
to try to show them this is how you could have made choices this day. You had this available. Did you use it? Why didn't you use it? So sort of coach people on how to travel. That kind of experiment has been shown, for example, to reduce car travel by as much as 10%, in some cases as much as 20%. So when people are made aware, actively aware of the
what's
choices
available
that are around them, they are more likely to change. And those kind of experiments have been done with the help of psychologists and sociologists and so forth.
There's also issues around safety, of course, and that's something that we cannot put aside. People will walk. If they feel that they are safe, they will ride a bicycle. If they feel that that street is well lit, that other people are also walking along that particular street. Do we take safety concerns and issues into account when we're planning around infrastructure?
It is something that comes out very often in the surveys that we do, that one important thing is the cost. The second thing that comes out as very important is safety. I don't think we are paying as much attention as we are in terms of designing our services. We looked at one experiment that we did. We looked at the users and non-users of the PRASA service, so-called Tshwane Business Express.
Mm.
The one thing that the non-users of the service expressed quite strongly is that, you know, no matter what you call it, it's still a train, and a train is very unsafe, and I will not use it for that specific reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing around safety and security is, you know, road traffic accidents. We're spending as a country something like 22 billion on claims, road accident fund claims. Mm. That is a lot of money. We cannot afford to spend, you know, to spend that kind of money, you know, for to use for claims when we have huge infrastructure backlogs in transport. So safety and security go along together very well. So when we design our services, we need to look at those aspects quite closely.
Particularly for pedestrians. I mean, I've started walking around my suburb here and I've realized households have taken over the pavements. So you actually can't walk on the pavements because people have planted things that you can't walk on.
Yes.
So you'll end up walking on the street. And this explains why we have such a high rate of pedestrian deaths in this country.
Absolutely. I mean, almost half, 40% or so of our fatalities are pedestrians. So it's something that we haven't gotten right so far. And the kind of approaches that we're trying to use, it's more like flavor of the month. What can I do? A campaign. We give them names. But we really need to take it very seriously, focus. It's not something you can solve in a year or two. It's something that needs concerted effort. You need to focus, multi-year focus, something that transcends over political office, terms of office. And we need to, transport is so important to the economy. I mean, it's the second highest expenditure item in households. Mm. And we cannot afford as a country to be spending that kind of money.
And to ignore it. Here's a tweet from Emil who says, I wish I was back in Sandton. Great initiative from a lonely bicycle commuter in Durban. Emil, you're going to have to teach me how to ride a bike. All right, we're going to leave it there. Thanks so much for your time today. Dr. Mateta Mokonyama is a competency area manager for transport systems and operations with the CSIR.